laced with sugar.
A long time ago, we started studying the book of Philippians. And we've gone 16 ways from Sunday since then, when we got to "let this mind be in you which was also in Christ." And we've gone through all of the aspects of how our mind and the whole hardwiredness of the human race is a religious service, and it's not compatible with the service that is going on in Scripture. And so that's the reason there must be total abandonment and cast down every thought and every imagination. And there's no place where this is, where the mind of Christ is greater realized than what led up to his Passover. Everything about the human, everything about our mind says that we must learn, we must understand, we must know how to do, we must get it right. But everything about the mind of Christ was, there's nothing that he can do without the Father, so he's in total dependence, second by second by second. And those two positions are not compatible. And yet, for some here, after 34 years, we're still trying to find the right way to do something, and how to get something done on time, or whatever your issue is. And that should be a testimony to you by your own personal experience why this night that started at the crucifixion has lasted 2,000 years. Because he's waiting for us to empty ourselves and not have any aspect of our own lives based on our past programming or what we have learned or what our minds tell us, but where that every single breath, everything we do is subject only to the will of God. Not the will of God as you think it is, because the will of God as we think it is, as man thinks it is, it can't be known, it can't be understood. And so let's look at a couple places. Let's look at John, go to John 9 first. All of John, John 9, 10, 11, and 12 are everything that's leading up to Passover. You remember that about 30-some percent of the Gospels, of the writing in the Gospels, are about what Christ did on Passover, and what his statements were and what his actions were. And so if you don't have any idea of what went on at Passover, then they're just other little scriptures that you can attach your meaning to. More things that you can learn. And it's, we miss the mystery. Okay, John 9. Did I say that? This is, again, he just got through saying, "Before Abraham was, I am." He just got through telling even the Jews that believed on him that they were children of the devil. They were of their father, the devil. He just got through telling them that they can't do anything. And so now, just all this is leading up to Passover. In John 9. "And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, that this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, to cause him to be blind. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So, I've seen all over the place. It's usually on churches like at Park City's Baptist, but they're all over the place. There's these huge clocks. Some religious manufacturer has made a fortune. He's got these huge clocks on the steeples of churches, and the scriptures, the night cometh when no man can work. Does anybody, do any of us believe that the night came already? And no man can work? Is that really part of what you believe? Did the night come when he died on the cross? Or didn't it? If it didn't come, and if all of these writers of the New Testament who were convinced that the end was then, the last day was then, then we must think we have more revelation than they do. But can you see, is there any reason why you should be upset? Can you think of any reason why you should have any weight? Is there any reason that you should have any anxiety? Because the night has come and no man can work. Let's see what he said. Go a couple pages. Go to John 12. He's raised Lazarus and done a bunch of stuff in these intervening places, but in verse 27, it says, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Whenever you see the word glorify, you could that's a word that's we don't have any English equivalent for. And we think we raise our hands and we're giving him the glory or whatever, we give him the credit or something, but that's not what glorify means. The closest English word that we have to what glorify means is clarify. Clarify. Make it clear. Make thy name clear and precise so that it's like, you remember the early rain and the latter rain, the scriptures about it? The early rain is the rain is the teacher of righteousness or revelation. That's what the word for rain means. The latter rain, though, is a word that means the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. So the latter rain has been falling for 2,000 years. But it's falling on ears that are uncircumcised. And they're uncircumcised because the ears that this hearing are still trying to get it right. They're trying to do something. They're trying to better themselves. So, Father, glorify, clarify thy name. So it's clear. And my prayer for us in this Passover is that this finally would be the time when his name was glorified, clarified perfectly. Now, he's already been glorified. We can't wait for that. But we have to see that the clarification of it in us is so pristine that there's no shadow, no turning, no double-mindedness, no if-onlys, no negotiating, no talking about it even. It just is. Then we can have the mind of Christ. Then we just rest in all things. Then we do nothing except what we see the Father doing. Which most of the time we then do nothing. The main basis of life then is just meeting need. Not your need, because you can never do anything again to help yourself. Not your opinions, because you don't have any. Not your ideas, because they're crap. Father, clarify thy name. That's my prayer for this Passover. But watch. Go down to verse 30. This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So what is all this crap that everybody's doing fighting? The devil. Now, 2,000 years ago, the prince of this world was cast out. Where was he cast? He was cast out into the earth. Remember we studied in Revelation? Now is the judgment of this world come. Now is the judgment of this world. Now. When? 2,000 years ago was the judgment day. Now was the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Now, so that's what we got to do. We got to follow all the charismaniacs and say, oh, Father, we're just lifting you up. What? Yeah, that's right. You're lifting him up because you're crucifying him. Because look at the next verse. This he said, signifying what death he should die. But then it goes on. This is where we're going to get to.
What verse are you in?
Now I'm in 33. Now I'm about to go in 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while, and in the Greek it means there's only a breath left. Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now, all of the scriptures about it, the introduction of the Spirit of God, compare the Holy Spirit to the wind. Where it goes, where it came from, nobody knows. And so you cannot know what the plan of God is. You cannot. It's not that you shouldn't, it's that you cannot. Your mind will always give you something that you think is, that you're supposed to do, some work you're supposed to do, but you can't know. Right?
You always add 2 and 2 and give it 4 instead of 27.
Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now, everything that Jesus did, he subjected himself to the will of God from his baptism forward. He wasn't baptized until he'd run the rabbit with the mind as Son of Man. And when he found out as Son of Man that there is nothing that his mind could do except vanity of vanities, all is vanity, then he was baptized in order to fulfill all righteousness. How can that be? How did his baptism fulfill all righteousness? You got to hear these simple words. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, how did we get that incredible cosmic statement? How did it come to mean some kind of an option? How did that happen? If Christ, as Son of God and Son of Man, if what he did as Son of God and as Son of Man, as Son of Man, is for those silent years of his life, he found out, he experientially knew that all that the human mind could do was bring to nothing, bring to emptiness, bring to confusion, bring to vanity, bring to futility. It was tested right after his baptism when the devil took him up onto a high mountain and in one moment of time showed him all the kingdoms of the world of all ages. And Satan said unto him, all this has been delivered over to me, and to whomsoever I will I should give it, I will give it. Jesus didn't fall for it because he saw the emptiness. Now the same is true with you and I. You cannot be truly baptized, i.e. buried, until you have come to the end of yourself, until you have come to the end of your questions, until you have come to the end of your striving, until you have seen the futility and emptiness of all of your striving, all of your questions, all of your effort. When you're baptized, then, you are certifying. You are, that's why it's a sacrament. It's a certification of your burial. Now, a lot of you have gotten wet 1,000 times, but have you been baptized? Was it your burial? We've seen death in the community. We've seen what happened. You think Steve Mestis is, or Lonnie or Vic or Rex, do you think they're experiencing any anxiety? Do they have something to do? Well, this now then is the bottom line. This is why we celebrate Passover. So you just have come to the end of your inordinate curiosity. You've come to the end of this incredible idea of sincerity there is none, because you were baptized, and in your baptism you agreed, you certified with God that all human effort was vain and empty and futile. Now if you don't believe that, I don't care, that's your business. But if you believe that you've got to learn in order to be in something with regard to God, then it's my business. Then you're a friggin' idiot. Let this Passover be the end of it. So you can't be deceived anymore. So your emotions can't turn you inside out. So your little fantasies can't take over your life and take you away from now. This is all about what really the Passover is about and why we celebrate it. It's to certify this finality that was final 2,000 years ago, and we've been living in a dream world. So what do you got going for you? What do you got to do today? You got something really important to do? Unless it's meeting somebody else's need, then if you're doing anything to help yourself, even learning, then you're a fool. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That means total emptiness. We saw in Revelation when we studied what happened on the baptism, which I believe in Revelation 12. Now the prince of this world was cast out into the earth. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. We thought, well, testimony, I mean, in the testimony. Isn't your testimony sweet? Well, not unless you think your death is sweet. Your testimony is your death. It's a martyr. So nothing, how can anything attract you? How can you think you need anything? How can you need to know anything? How can you need to do anything? How can you have a sense of obligation? How can you want to learn how to? What? You're doing something.
I'm thinking of the Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith. And this the experience he had leading up to his baptism, where he's convinced of who he is, to the point where now he's baptized. But even at that, having heard God say, "Look, my son, I'm well pleased," then he goes and fasts for 40 days. That whole, why did he even need to fast?
Because it had to be tested to the ultimate. Why did he heal anybody? So he could know he could heal, so he could know what to empty of. He did it so that it was fully tested in 100% of the environments that we could possibly be in.
What sticks out in my mind when you ask that question is it's very clear in that section to say he was led of the Spirit. He didn't go into the wilderness. He didn't go, oh, now I'm going to go into the wilderness and fast. It wasn't this. He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. I think there's a reason why it says that.
Yeah, I wasn't really asking the question.
Yeah,
I was making a statement more of the power of that. That he himself goes through that to the point of, I imagine, 40 days, you're pretty empty.
Yeah, you're one breath away from death.
Yeah, you're right down there. And I think about, I guess all I can see is I look at him and what he did, because I can't do that, nor do I want to. And if I was led of the Spirit, I would. There's something very essential to that.
But you have to go to the place where you no longer help yourself, wherever that is. The element of the Passover is the death of you. You cannot again ever try to help yourself. You can never want to know how to. I mean, you can do it all you want, but you're just making his cross of none effect. That's why, I have to, the only thing I can talk about is, for me, I had to go back to that point when I first became a believer. I was homeless and hungry. No possibility. I had no interest in. I knew if I would die right then. I would have died because I had. No, I could never again help myself. I could not do anything to get me even food. No, and people always say, "Well, that's easy for you because you don't have a family." I mean, I've heard that so many times. It's become sickening. That's just goofy. That's just a self-justification. Because that means you don't believe God's going to meet. This is something that is really deep. It can't be. You're the only one that knows whether or not you're helping yourself. It's not my business. It's not to me to talk about it even. But you have to know, if you have any integrity whatsoever, you've got to come to that place, the same place, where there is nothing you do to help yourself, where there is nothing you do to want to increase your knowledge, where there's nothing you do to want to do anything. I just want to get smarter. I just want to know more about God. You just want, period. And so this has to be at that level.
I have this. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Because, check.
Oh, give it to Pete.
Okay. I never do this.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it.
Don't
worry about it. Can you get down to that place, that deep place within you where you know whether or not you're helping yourself? Where you're responding based on some historical perspective? Where you're responding based on some pillars of what you learned as learned behavior? Or can you come to that place where there's only you and God? As John once said, where you have to come to a place that's indivisible. That will show you that you're connected to the first source, and that's where then faith is. You never again have to leave that. You never again lean on your own arm of understanding or your own little sincere, I'm just trying to feed my family. I'm just trying to do this. It's a place that is the source of all things. It's the place where now you are complete in Him. It's the place where by one offering you've been perfected forever. But if you dance around the place, you never reach the place, then you will, when the test happens, you will always go to the familiar. Does that communicate?
Passover, the Seder meal, how nothing else matters. We've blocked out everything. And that should be the every moment.
Amen.
Nothing matters but this moment.
Amen. There's no agenda.
There's no next moment. It's the end.
That's why we close the door. That's why the structure is like it is at Passover.
It's kind of heavy to me that the temptation in the wilderness, Satan comes on the 40th day. When he was beaten with 40 stripes, save one, because 40 is death. The 40th day, there's nothing left. He's finished. That's when, he says, you've not yet resisted unto blood. That's where the test was for him. So, and it prefigures the test in the grave. Where the test was to raise himself.
I'm not trying to make this place easy. I'm not trying to tell you that. I'm saying to you that you will either reach that place now or you will reach it at your death. But that reaching that place is not negotiable. And for some reason, God wants us to reach that place while we are yet alive. That's what a disciple is moving towards that place at the expense of everything else. So there is no more... it's all these scriptures I talk about all the time. Walk in the sparks of the light. Walk in the light of the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say it's not, there is no hope. For you found the life of thine own hand. Those scriptures are over and over and over again. And what we've reached such a state of apostasy that we have convinced ourselves that these acts of helping self are really godly. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. Read what these men and women went through that are the progenitors of our faith, that have kept it alive even in the dark. Spiritually, this is probably the darkest, in America anyway, this is the darkest time that has ever been. Because faith is so easy. Grace is so cheap. You get so many choices, so many options. So you have to see. You're the one that has to see. There can be nothing except Him. Well, that doesn't even deserve to be called Christianity, when they talk about it being a gain to you. Please find that place in you, maybe for the first time. Then you will never again have to wonder or not whether you believe. The rest of it is just crap. Any response? No. Well, what about this? What about that? Oh, but if I say anything, you'll just make fun of me. Well, if that's your concern, you deserve to be made fun of. Take it, big guy. Wait a minute. What's the schedule on the tent? On the Thursday. Putting up Thursday?
Put up the tent Thursday, yeah. Just
getting ready. Okay. Do we have any idea?